You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, J.D. Church, Ender, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, XV, and Brian Kilby.
You're listening to New Soundwave, episode 22?
One.
21?
Yes.
21.
We can drink now.
We can drink.
21. Woohoo!
The show where all the hosts only wear cummerbunds.
I think I need one.
So, yes. So, and don't worry. If you find yourself in a foreign country and a mine goes off and you find shrapnel near your heart, you can replace it with New Soundwave. So...
Let's go.
Let's jump right in.
Thank you, Dr. Dim Sum.
Sorry. Yes. Dong so long. Anyway, no? Different guy.
Dongs.
Axe Cop. We meant to talk about this last week.
Dude, Axe Cop's awesome.
So those that love Axe Cop, please take it away because I've sort of seen this, but what?
Axe Cop is the best thing ever.
Axe Cop is awesome.
Yes. You know, you can talk all day about comics. Talk about this comic.
Can we?
Axe Cop is a comic that's drawn by a 29-year-old and it's written by his 6-year-old brother. So it's like it's simplistic, yet it really drives home how a 6-year-old thinks, and you can kind of relive what it's like being a 6-year-old through Axe Cop. Go ahead.
Well, exactly, though, in some ways. It'll be really fun the first time you read it. And if there's 8 episodes up or 20, you'll get about – you'll pour through them and you're like, ha-ha, that was fun. Wow, that was like a 29-year-old drew a comic by a 6-year-old. And when you come back, it'll be the same damn thing.
Have you ever read it?
I have.
And you have? Okay.
I have. And the first time it was like, wow, that's amusing. It's like a 6-year-old wrote a comic and then a 29-year-old drew it. And then I came back and there was a couple more and it was the same damn thing.
I enjoy each and every issue. It gets better.
How can it get better?
It gets better.
Well, when you read it and you find out, it gets better because there's stuff like the mermaid question. Did you read that one, Brian?
Yes.
Oh, did you read that one, Ender? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh God, it's so good.
The thing is,
lost my interest well before that.
The 6-year-old writes the comic. The 29-year-old keeps continuity, so every single crazy off the wall thing comes back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, it's interesting for that, but there's nothing. There's nothing but the concept, though. I mean, once you get the concept, you've gotten the concept, and then it's not going to be anything else.
So you collect Optimus Primes. You have 300 of these in a cabinet. And how has Optimus Prime changed over the last 25 years?
It's not about the change. That's about the consistency. I could go through the points of consistency that I like in the figure in terms of its 3D representation. And it's kind of like sculpture that's on a theme.
Well, the only thing that changes in the Axe Cop
that's
is
good.
Food Cop becomes a new guy.
No, I'm just a soldier.
No,
I'm just saying there's one thing that's amusing about Axe Cop, and it's going to be as amusing the first time as the 200th.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not. I mean, you know.
I enjoy it. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's not something to be analyzed and not something to be vigorously.
No,
defended.
I mean, like, I enjoyed it. Like, somebody turned me on to it. I'm sure it was you guys. You sent it to me. I read it. It was like, haha, that's cool. And then I went back again. I was like, oh, it's the same thing. And then I went back again. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to come back again. I've been here.
That makes
that could be said of every comic, though.
But and
not really, because that's the point I'm getting at, is that is all this comic has. It doesn't have it has that it has the amusingness of its concept, and that's what it has.
Know. Got some character development.
And in a larger point,
Axe Cop felt pain.
Character development, it wouldn't be staying true to its concept of simplicity. The more it's developed, the more it strays from what makes it interesting. It's kind of like a, wow, what a funny thing. And then it's done. I don't think it's something of an ongoing interest.
We disagree.
I don't know. I thought that about Dr. McNinja, and I know people still love that too. So.
I mean, never read Sakurang it. Just became a bad guy.
Well, but I mean, like, at a point, are you reading it just because it's like watching the train wreck, or at a point, you know what I mean? Like, or is it still doing something dynamic and interesting and new?
Well, it hasn't had to be rebooted yet, so far it's doing pretty good with that.
There's no need for a crisis.
Yeah, there's a crisis on Infinite Axe Cops.
You know, comics. Like,
I'll tell you what, when they have Axe Cop Crisis, I'll read it again. I need a crisis. I'm ready for a crisis in Axe Cop. I need something new in Axe Cop.
It's kind of like a Sunday comic strip from the newspaper. I mean, it stays. It's pretty static. Nothing really changes, but people read that crap for years.
What's funny about the jokes in Axe Cop is how unfunny they are. But
are there jokes in Axe Cop?
No, but that's what I'm saying. There aren't jokes in Axe Cop. I mean, like, there's a humor to it that is, oh my god, that's so silly. Oh my god, that's so weird. Oh my god, whatever it is for you, you know.
I know what it is.
The same thing every time.
I never get it.
The jar of the difference of a 6-year-old's perspective remains the same. The 6-year-old perspective, when you first read it, is really amusing, but it doesn't become anything else. I mean, eventually it will become a 7-year-old's perspective.
Exactly.
But, it's never going to be a new trick.
I think this is fitting the genre. There is a genre of things that are random, of things that aren't necessarily made up of continuity. Honestly, I'm not a big fan. I don't get it. I think that's probably – it sounds like the case for you as well, Ender. But there's a lot of people that do. And I get it. Like I said, I understand that it's
got it. I feel like it got it, but I got it the one time, and then I got it a little less the second time, and by the third time it was just the same thing.
And that's what I'm saying. I think in a sustainable for those that aren't as into it, you know. But that's fine. I think it's – I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's
– Yeah, I'm not saying that either.
I don't want to be down on it. I think it's great stuff. And if people love it, awesome, you know. So I can see where the appeal would be. So anyway, Axe Cop, please check it out. I mean, definitely for anything of like these independent online comics, there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's a lot of labor of love. And I think it's worth supporting.
Just like independent online podcasts.
Just like independent online podcasts. And the work that they do. So,
no, if you haven't read Axe Cop, I think there's totally something there to enjoy.
Absolutely.
My opinion is that there's not something to come back for week after week.
That's okay.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're up late one night and you haven't read it, go and read like 3 months worth, and you'll be happy.
They're doing motion comics now.
In other news,
that seems just like totally senseless.
All right. But,
okay, moving on.
We're done, Andrew. Okay. Iron Man 2 trailer came out this week. Oh man.
Change my shorts just because you brought it up.
Oh man.
That was pretty good.
XV, you're here because of this, please.
I liked
what
it.
Do you think?
That's the nicest thing XV's ever said about anything.
I mean, that's.
yeah, basically. It was positive.
To the point and everything.
That is huge.
Who are you? And what have you done with XV?
I think the first movie went over really well, and the trailer makes the sequel look like it's going to be at least that good. So I'm totally thrilled with what it's looking like right
Scarlett
now.
Scarlett Johansson, enough said.
And War Machine.
Iron Man is just like, what if somebody made an Iron Man movie and just got everything right all the time in both of them? just like everything is like hitting the mark. As soon as they brought out, you know, for the first movie, for the second of Iron Man, even the Mark One suit, when they just had Robert Downey Jr. there and start to talk about repulsor technology. Yeah. I knew it was Tony Stark.
Right.
I knew it was an Iron Man movie.
Robert Downey Jr. is the best casting for Tony Stark possible.
Yeah, it was just amazing. I mean, it was just like totally right there. Like, I was completely enveloped in the world. It's like our proprietary repulsor technology. And I was like, oh my God, he's Tony Stark. oh my God, that's Tony Stark. I'm not even an Iron Man fan, not by a long shot. I bet I've read 10 Iron Man comics my whole life, and I was like, ooh, it's Tony Stark. And they just hit like everything right on the money over and over and over again.
He wasn't my ideal Tony Stark when he was cast, but
who would you have picked?
No, he wasn't my ideal Tony Stark. But once the movie was over, he replaced my ideal Tony Stark. He replaced what my preconception of Tony Stark and Iron Man was. So he completely altered my vision of Iron Man.
Well, that was just it. Like, I didn't know anything about Iron Man, but I took one look at like 3 seconds of that footage and went, oh, wow, that is Tony Stark.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. pulled it off great. Yeah.
Well, more specifically to this trailer, we talked about it in a previous episode, when the first trailer came out, I was a bit meh on it. And this trailer did exactly what I think it needed to do for the film, which is exemplified what's really going to be going on in this movie. In particular, I think it made it very clear what they're intending to do with Whiplash.
Oh, you mean make him Crimson Dynamo without being Crimson Dynamo?
Well, essentially moving him into Titanium. Well,
Titanium Man.
He'll be Titanium Man. Yeah, he'll move into being Titanium Man, which is more to the point of what that character. That was my problem initially, that they had this complete character that was Titanium Man and they were turning him into Whiplash. But that's just a side gig. This is going to be Titanium Man. And then, again, cannot say it enough, the briefcase armor.
Yeah, the sequence at the end of the trailer with the briefcase armor is fantastic.
That totally made it for me.
Yeah. In fact, I'd even venture to say I think the sequence with the briefcase armor is better than any of the sequences with briefcase armor in the comic.
Oh, of course.
I haven't. Yeah, I mean, just one, because it's in motion, but two, I think it from a equipping standpoint, it makes sense.
Even at this trailer stage, as someone who's bitched heavily about both Transformers movies, when people say, well, what do you want from an action movie? I'm sorry. I just point right over here and go, oh, that?
What I loved about this trailer.
Is that so much to ask?
What I loved is that they ended it with the briefcase armor. That is like a tip of the hat to all the nerds out there. They could have ended it with like a gigantic explosion with a shot of Johansson's boobs or something, but no, they ended it with the briefcase. That's love. I love that so much.
So, if you have not seen this trailer,
aren't you just like, isn't that scene going to be so awesome? I mean, didn't it seem like a bit of a downturn scene where like, oh, he's going to beat up Tony Stark for a minute. It's going to be a low point for him in the movie. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, no.
Turned it around.
That's a scene where Iron Man is going to kick ass.
Yes. So if you have not seen this trailer.
Knock down my race car? Yeah, no.
So if you have not seen this trailer, what the hell is wrong with you? Go watch it.
Also, War Machine's looking pretty badass in there, too.
Oh, yes. The effects are looking great. Everything's looking perfect. This is a comic book licensed movie off of, an ancient franchise, and it is amazing. And all you people who are making comic book or licensed movies that suck, you have no excuse. This rocks.
Which is the same thing I was saying after Iron Man 1 came out.
Yeah.
So basically, I cannot wait for May 7th. It can't.
Yeah, still haven't watched that one.
Seriously?
Really? What?
The DVD's sitting right over there. I still haven't even watched it.
You haven't watched Iron Man?
No, I'm too busy getting laid.
Iron Man? You haven't watched Iron Man?
Dude, Iron Man's a great date.
You haven't watched
Iron Man? I really want to see it. I just haven't. What?
Walk across the room and go watch Iron Man.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
Watch it when I feel like
must
it.
Watch it. Okay. On to other trailers.
What the hell have you been doing?
Well, I have a girlfriend and a life.
I have a wife and 2.5 kids. I've managed to see Iron Man 15 times since it came out.
When was the last time you talked to your wife?
My wife watches Iron Man with me.
Kim does too. Kim loves Iron Man, dude.
See?
Girls love Iron Man.
Girls love Iron Man.
Go watch Iron Man.
Kim dig giant robots.
So in other trailers that have come out this week,
what else came out this week?
Okay. Anyway,
I know what else came out.
First trailer, first official trailer for Tron Legacy. So we had seen like the sneaker sort of pre-trailer that's what has been playing for so long. So now we have the first full trailer. I have higher expectations for the film than I think the trailer portrayed. Has anybody else watched the trailer?
I haven't seen a new one yet. Oh, Tron's a hard thing for them to sell, so I really hope they pull this one out.
Yeah, I have. I have a concern that I think it's all going to seem a bit cliche. I mean, when Tron originally came out, computer effects, they were virtually non-existent. And now they're the standard of the day. So how do you take a film that was all about showing off computer effects and now make a new film that, I mean, and to be honest, I mean, let's be fair. I love Tron, but plot-wise, the original movie doesn't really have a lot to stand on. I mean, am I totally off base in saying that?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So I haven't watched all of Tron because I keep falling asleep.
Yeah, that's
about
right.
Tron's looking awesome for half of it, and the rest of it's pretty slow moving.
So, right. And so my concern, I mean, I want this film to do well. I hope it does well. I don't know that I saw anything in the trailer that makes me think it's going to be awesome. My hope is going to be that it'll be the inverse of the original film, that the effects, not complete inverse, but that the effects will be good, but hopefully the storyline will carry it a bit more since it will lack in the awe factor. So any other thoughts or nobody else really?
I don't care.
No, I mean, it's definitely writing will have to win the day.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, Tron was a really original concept in terms of it played against a notion that was misunderstood at the time. It was a metaphor for something that people didn't understand, whereas now, you know, your computer is a very functional object. Then your computer was, you know, like, oh, what does it do? What's going on in there? How's it doing this? Now, you know, to us, our computer is like our garbage disposal.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just another appliance. Yeah.
So absolutely. What they're going to have to do is justify that universe and bring it back up to that sort of mythical level in some way, which, you know, honestly, there's more justification now to suggest that a world like the one portrayed in Tron would exist in a computer. Certainly much more than there was when the original Tron came out. I mean, you know, this. Things were wind-up toys compared to what we use now. I mean, the car and the computer in your car is more advanced than like what they used to go to the moon. But you know, so it's sort of like there's more justification for the notion, but at the same time, it's much less of a mystical thing. So they can't justify that.
It's Tron. They're fighting in computers. Why are they? You know, now people are gonna be like, "What are you doing? Clicking dislike on each other's topics?"
What a thing! Even a joke of like, you know,
like clicks, yeah.
Throw
yeah.
a disc at you. That was a joke about floppy disks.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm gonna throw a thumb drive bomb at you.
Which is completely dated now.
Yeah. You know. I mean, what are they gonna pull out now? I'm just waiting for like the, you know, the grenade.
Don't step on that external hard drive. It'll blow up any minute.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, like I said, I hope it's going to be good. It's got to be carried by the story, though. So, final bit.
Recognizers.
What?
Anything else? Recognizers. That was like my, for some reason, I found those tremendously menacing.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole smashy.
Yeah.
The whole crushy, smashy thing. Final bit of movie-ish news. Dane Cook or the Jonas Brothers to play Captain America?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And this is more like Captain America's going to be so unfunny.
God.
Nice.
Yeah. Well,
I know he's not American, but I really want, like, Russell Crowe to be Captain America.
He's, like, three times old as he needs to be like Captain America.
You know what, though? You know, I just feel like Captain America should be kind of old and he should kick your ass anyway.
If it was 15 years ago, I would say have Tim Daly.
Man, yeah.
I don't really care who plays him as long as they do a good job. Because, I mean, we were just talking about Iron like who my ideal Iron Man was. And then the guy from Weird Science just stole the show. So, you know, who knows? Maybe someone we're not even thinking, like some the guy from American Pie might be in it. Next thing we're like, whoa, he was really good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's how do you, you know, I mean, in some ways to me, okay, how do I say this and not sound like
not piss me off?
And not, it's not that I dislike Captain America as much as I would dislike Superman, but I very much see Captain America as the Superman of Marvel Comics.
Do I disconnect JD or not?
So,
you know, so I would have totally agreed with this until the Ultimates came out and they showed Captain America being a badass in World War II, which is what this movie is going to be.
Hopefully.
Captain America being a badass in World War II.
Mark Miller is awesome. He's like, where's his parachute? Parachute. He doesn't wear a parachute. He says parachutes are for girls. It's so awesome. Love that so much.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a girl.
No, but parachutes are for girls.
Even the 40s connotation of it. I mean, you know, it being taken in the context it's meant to be. I mean, you have to kind of take Captain America from that context first. What makes him interesting even in modern times is sort of, you know, God help me for invoking this, but a sort of Austin Powers-ish fish out of water thing. Mm-hmm. He's just like,
superhero
being
squad.
A badass means being a badass. And what you people think being a badass is crap.
Now, it's kind
and that's
of,
what Captain America really is all about.
This isn't fanboy versus, but I think that like the best interpretation of Captain America in that sense was in Frank Miller's Born Again by the Daredevil comic when Captain America talked about how he sort of juxtaposed how he was the World War II hero and how he's had to adapt to the modern world. And he had to hack this computer to find out who Nuke was. And he, being Captain America and being incredibly talented, was able to do that. But he still harkens back to life then. But he's mastered today's world as well. So, yeah.
See, I think my favorite Captain America moment ever was one of the Ultimates things again, where they had reverted the Hulk back to Bruce Banner. He said, "Don't you worry, son. We'll get you that broken jaw taken care of." He's like, "What broken jaw?" And the next panel was just Captain America's boot going across his face. We'll get that broken jaw taken care of, son.
We'll say this. This would be an exciting discussion, perhaps, for Fanboy Versus. So.
Which everyone should listen to.
Yes. It's one of our other podcasts. You should tune in. Let's go from movies to television. I'm going to go for... Which makes no difference to our listeners, but it's completely different order than what's written down on our notes. But anyway, Futurama coming this summer. Original cast.
Yeah.
So what is our start date on this? Do we have a date or just a vague summer?
June.
June-ish. Okay. So close enough. So definitely tune in for that. Please vote with
me. I'll watch it.
You're watching.
Still Comedy Central?
You better.
So, yeah.
Comedy Central. Futurama. I was all about
it. Way to miss it.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, on
if I
to...
had cable, I'd totally watch that.
You got the internet. Check it out.
Oh, my God. Anyway, rumor or possible maybe, I don't know, Arkham Asylum 2. That's not really the big rumor. But Robin? In Arkham Asylum 2, really.
Why is it Arkham Asylum 2? Didn't we just go through Arkham Asylum? I mean, couldn't you just make another Batman game that wasn't in Arkham Asylum?
I know
the marketing department would need to change their underwear three times, but I really bet the fans would get it.
I thought they were not going with the Arkham Asylum name because it's not going to take place in Arkham. Am I mistaken?
I don't know. That's
what everybody calls
it.
Okay,
yeah, I can see that. Yeah. If that's the working title, that's fine. But if they're going to go back to Arkham Asylum, it's like, really?
Maybe they can call this one Stonegate Penitentiary.
What did you say?
Penitentiary.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, see, that could work.
Batman Gotham? How about we see some Gotham City now that you've got this engine down? How about we go to a more expansive setting? Wouldn't it be great to just be Batman and looking for criminals?
Yes. Yes, yes,
beat up
yes,
muggers,
yes.
Beat a just bum up.
Schmuck and be like, purse snatcher, now you go down. You're like, oh my God. I feel like all the punk kids, people shoplifting.
Yes, I want to free roam as Batman.
Yeah.
Yes.
You apply pressure until you hear cartilage snap or that crap in their pants.
I would play it.
Oh, write that game. Do that.
You got all this awesome video game processing power. It needs to be put to use to make Batman have somebody crap their pants.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what is the PS3 worth if not to have Batman?
Well, the PS3 is not really worth anything, but the Xbox 360.
Burn. Anyway,
fastball right down the middle.
Speaking of console wars, new to the fight is a system coming out. Now, this is something I don't think we've talked about this on the show, and it's something that's been semi under the radar. It's called OnLive, and who's familiar with this?
Fairly well.
Okay. Essentially, online, I think they announced it, what, about 2 years ago that they were doing this. The idea is to do streaming gaming. So they're saying, hey, why are you buying all these games? Why are you, you know, allowing them to collect on your shelf? Why don't you just do it streaming? And they've been developing the technology for a while. It is finally here. The launch date is June 17th. So essentially what you do is you can play through PC, Mac, and then there's also the console version as well. There's a controller, there's a whole setup for it. It is a subscription service. You pay $15 a month, and then I believe there's occasional service fees on top of that for particular games, but I think it's much less than buying the full titles, and you can also play some titles through the streaming without having to pay.
But the advantage to this, though, is that you can play really high-end games at a really high-end level through a really crappy computer. That's the gist. And apparently it works. Apparently it works.
Yeah, supposedly it's...
I have a certain level of I hate this crap to all these things.
It seems like a better version of Gamefly, where you know you can play pretty much anything and have it basically instantly.
Yeah, this is the thing about all this, I think it's just through like having worked at rental places and then having worked at sales places for movies. There are different kinds of people when it comes to the media. Some people are renters. Some people are buyers. And too rarely mix. I like having the stuff on my shelf. I like having the packaging, the stuff available to me. I like having the hardware. I like knowing that I can plug it in and do it anytime I want. I find something really terrifying and transient about the notion that I'm supposed to trust you to provide me with what I'm paying you for. And then if, for whatever reason, down the road, if you either get sick of providing it, go out of business, the technology changes, all of a sudden what I have paid you for is no longer mine.
Yep.
I don't like that.
I agree with you 110% there. From my initial – what I was initially under the impression of is incorrect. I didn't even know anything about the rental aspect of this. My entire knowledge of this was basically the server-side processing. And it would process your games server-side so that you could run games, again, at a very high-end level on a very low-end system, and it would handle all of that for you. Now, that's the interesting thing behind this technology. The streaming thing isn't such a big deal to me. I don't care. But the fact that it will render and process the game for you means I can play something really high-end on my frickin' netbook.
Yes.
I think that's interesting.
I think this is a notion that is growing to apply to all of media. I think, you know, for instance, especially the music industry already, and I bet soon to be the movie industry is experiencing, you know, huge upheaval over, you know, licensing and problems with people stealing their media. And what's really going to happen is it's only going to be worth buying media if you are not buying an object or even renting it like this crap. It's going to be if I'm going to pay for something that's going to be transient or going to change, I want to buy the rights to listen to your media, not the rights to display it or copy it or whatever. But I think what's going to happen in the future, even with music, is like, I'm going to buy the right to listen to this song from you. And when you change technology, I want to continue to be able to hear it. I don't want that to be my problem. I want to buy the media permanently. And if you're, you're not going to provide it right in a physical medium,
yeah.
If you're going to, when they provide it, when the only way to listen to it was to provide it in a physical medium, they provided me with a permanent object that had a recording of that, which I was allowed to listen, play whatever to at my discretion. And what I'm going to want, if they're going to start playing this game of download this, stream that, I want the right. I'm going to buy the right.
Well, my problem, the problem that I'm having is that I think when they originally were selling the idea of this, my thinking was is that you would pay maybe a subscription fee, then you would have access to their games. Now what they're saying is you pay the subscription fee, that gives you access to the service. Then you still have to buy.
You pay games. Us for the right to give us money to listen to play a game. Which
and
is
I'm kind of like, screw that. So that's what I'm concerned about. Now, it will come down to cost because obviously there's a big difference between paying $60 for a game and paying $20 for a game. But to your point, yes, I mean if you're buying the game and you have to play it through their service and their service goes belly up, you're SOL. Now if you're renting it, I'm not so worried about that.
To Andrew's point, this has already happened with the Kindle. You know, like about a year ago, lots of people had downloaded books by a certain author who I can't remember right now.
It was Animal Farm in 1984.
Yeah, and Kindle ran into legal trouble, and people woke up one morning, and those books were gone from their Kindles.
Which is highly ironic, given the books.
Yeah,
right. So there's no. So this has already happened before. It's going to happen again.
Well, this is why I didn't use iTunes until they stripped the DRM from it, because you buy it. Yet, you know, if something happens, you lose. You uninstall iTunes. You or just something crazy happens. If you don't have the encryption key or whatever, it's tied to your system. You can't play it. So that's why I would buy from Amazon.
Well, yeah. And I pull out the music industry because I think it's the people who are furthest down this technological road. Just behind them are the movies, and just behind them are the games in terms of really just what data size and enjoyment factor you can get from something that's downloadable and instantly accessible in this way. But I think, you know, in the future of the music industry is not what the people who control it right now wish it to be. Those people have become unnecessary, and soon the people who release the movies will become unnecessary, and after them the people who distribute the video games will become unnecessary. These middlemen, releasers, you know, people who distribute, that they collect a tremendous amount of money in the middle. It's been the model for decades. However, the actual stream of technology does not include them. The future, I think, is going to be much more things like where you buy a service, and it's like you thought this was going to be. It's not going to be you buy the service, then you rent. It's going to be you buy the service and you get all the stuff that's available on the service, or you buy a permanent right to the media that you are buying. And they will owe you something in that way. You have bought that media forever.
Yeah, so
and it might be that might be more expensive, whereas the right to listen to it on a temporary basis or play it on a temporary basis will be much less expensive. And more of that money is going to be the people who actually make the damn things. And there's not going to be any room for this giant, giant industry that distributes. They are no longer necessary. And they've been literally fighting people with the law to try and stay relevant. But there is nothing but some sort of legal threat that was once there to protect them to keep them even valid within the business.
So I don't know. Well, go ahead.
I think this system just in general, not necessarily the specific service. I think the system would be a really good alternative to the video game rental model that we have now if they get the pricing scheme a little bit more in the line of common sense.
Well, I think the niche for this can be people who don't want to pay a lot of money for a console, who don't want to dish out, you know, $300, $200 for an Xbox or a PS3, right, or, you know, or want to play through their existing computer, but want to play the latest games. And it's not that I don't think that this service has a niche and it has a customer base. I just don't think it's for me. I have a gaming system, and if I want to play games, I'll go out and buy them, or I'll rent them from GameFly or whatever. So
right, the other alternative would just be whether, like, there's a game exclusive to the opposite console if you've only got a PS3 or I've only got a 360.
Right, but that's so rare anymore.
I know. I'm just presenting some, you know,
alternative. And this is just PC.
Yeah. It's supposed to be console eventually.
Yeah.
So. I mean, a console version of it, but it will have console games.
Well, the consoles, yes, but the consoles themselves don't want that, so they're going to be resisting that every step of the way.
They're not going to have a choice for the cross-platform games, I think. For those,
it doesn't matter.
No, they won't have a choice on the PC end of it, but I don't think they're going to have to support this notion.
So I don't know. I'm just a little disappointed. It's just not what I expected, but that doesn't.
Yes, choice sucks, man. I hate choice.
I know. so bad. So, but the big news, what we really wanted to talk about tonight,
besides Iron Man 2 trailer,
which we kind of,
he's lying, people, so awesome. Lying.
So the big important news.
You can hang up now or quit listening.
Is the Sony motion controller, the PlayStation Move.
What an original
idea. That thing looks so stupid.
Man, that Wii is great.
Yeah.
So,
it looks like a Wii remote with a light bulb glued to the end of it.
Yes. Now,
that is so stupid.
Fantastic. It is so amazing. It's really.
No.
New Sound Wave is brought to you by PlayStation Move.
That's right. I think our sponsor is
Sony. You know my only problem?
It's the Wildo.
here's my only problem with it. Only problem with it, and this goes to also the proposed Xbox motion controller. I have no problem with them doing a Wii thing because, hey, it's making money. Jump on the bandwagon. But here's the problem, the big problem. Okay, every game coming out for the Sony, how many of them is going to work with it? That won't work with a regular controller. How many people are going to attach to it, you know?
Well, there's a huge list of companies that have just, you know, released that they are going to be releasing titles for the PlayStation Move. So
yeah, and they'll probably port tons of Wii games on.
It's going to be all the crap we didn't like from the Wii or versions of it. PlayStation. Well,
specifically, or can you still use your old controller?
Like the six-axis is motion controller.
Get
your parents to buy it for their kids, and we're like, well, doesn't your other one work? Yeah, then play with it.
Sony, you know, this is the thing about video games especially. This applies to movies to a small degree, but it heavily applies to video games. Video game success is predetermined in most cases by your previous success. And that's why there's all these sequels. Because if you made a great game last week, people will buy your next game. And as long as it continues to be good, they'll buy your next one. And what, like, for some reason these companies have not understood, except maybe Nintendo, is that that applies to systems in a longer scale as well. You know why the PS2 sold so damn well? Because the PS1 was amazing. You know why the PS1 was amazing? Because
Nintendo, they ripped off Nintendo?
Built it. Nintendo built that system and abandoned it with Sony. And all of a sudden, Sony had a good system. The PS1 is an amazing system. The PS2 is a piece of crap with amazing licensing, which it gained from having all these friends from the PS1. What we're learning in this era is that the PS2 made its mark. People know Sony is not the end-all, be-all of systems. They like to pretend they are because they sold a billion PS2s, but they only sold a billion PS2s because the PS1 was so good. And now the PS2 being crappy is catching up with them. And they're following behind Nintendo, who people are following because it has been consistently good. You can trust its name. It's a big layout of cash. And if you don't think the thing is going to keep working or consistently do what you want or be at the forefront in some way, people aren't going to buy it. And that's why the PS3 is failing, because Sony milked its PS1 success for all it was worth and has nothing left. They never made anything worthwhile. Their new system is barely worthwhile. And their licensing partners are abandoning them for wiggle controls.
I like that. Keep going, Ender.
It's
just a warm-up for
it's completely generation. False, but yeah, okay. I mean, I guess you can say
I don't agree with that.
No, it's not false. How long has the PlayStation?
Dude, the PS2 is still on the market.
And it's still a crappy system.
It's a crappy system. It's made by people who don't understand video gaming hardware.
Okay.
They never got it.
Hang on. Where do you go to the store to buy an original Xbox? Where do you go to the store to buy the previous version of a Nintendo? You don't. You can still buy PS2s. PS2s are still selling.
It is a successful console system.
It's because Sony doesn't know when to let it die.
Because of its licensing, it still makes money. It still has a market footprint, which it gets from its tremendous licensing, which it only got.
Well, you can't say it's you can't say it's crap. It's a crap system. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to buy it, and then turn around and say it's all because Sony is positioning the system.
Hardware. It is a piece of crap hardware. Games that came
then
out.
Why are people? Then why is it so successful? Because PS1 was amazing. So people are stupid, is what you're saying. The consumers are stupid.
I just don't get selective credit that you're not giving Sony any credit for licensing.
Licensing is part of the game.
It's arguably much bigger. Software is much more important than hardware.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just it. That's what made that system a success. But those people have completely abandoned it in the face of the Wii. It's cheaper. Okay, well. It does some crappier stuff, but it has things that people want. And all that licensing has abandoned the PS3.
We're also forgetting two generations of different stories. Two important things we're ignoring.
You know, whatever you want to say about the PS2 being a crappy system, the people who developed it were successes. However, they were successes at the expense of the future. And this is the future. This is PS3. This is PlayStation abandoned by all those licensees who are just flocking to where the market footprint is.
I don't agree with that. I mean,
the Wii won this generation.
I mean, the PlayStation lost to a better system. Everybody was going to lose to the Wii because the Wii had breakthrough technology and a breakthrough interface.
And
nobody could plan for that.
It had a breakthrough interface. There was no technology that was breakthrough. There's even a degree way back.
You go back to the Intellivision and the Atari of that era. There was a huge problem there, which is what the PS3 is having. PS3 is advanced. It is all this crap. They poured $1 billion into it. It can do all these amazing things, and no developer wants to touch it. Why? Because the Wii and the Xbox can do maintainable, comparable things that don't go that high. So when you build a game that fully takes advantage of the PS3, the marketing boys and the executives ask, well, how would you do that on a Wii? How would you do that on an Xbox? And if your answer is you wouldn't, they don't make the game.
What developers are abandoning the PS3? What game, what major title that's a crossover title that's not coming out on the Xbox 360 and the
PS3? Titles are Xbox 360 caliber, even though supposedly the PS3 can do more. No one's going to build something for the PS3 when they can build something for the Wii and the 360.
But what I don't understand, what titles are you saying? What title is coming out on the Wii and the Xbox 360 that's not coming out on the PS3? No,
yeah, well, answer the question. With that is like exclusivity. I'll give you one. Final Fantasy.
It's on the PS3.
Final Fantasy used to be the bread and butter of the PlayStation brand. Now it's everybody's bread and butter.
It was Nintendo, then it was PlayStation, now it's
right. Well, They flocked at the money. They said, screw you to PlayStation, just like they said it to Nintendo.
Yeah, okay, I want to say one thing real quick. One thing we're completely ignoring is the fact that Sega botched the previous generation and Nintendo botched it by not releasing a CD-based system. Had Nintendo released the CD-based system, i.e. the PlayStation or something similar, or Sega had not botched the Saturn, the Dreamcast would have been a runaway success because it was a substantially better system with substantially better software than the PS2. So two mistakes by Nintendo and Sega is really what let Sony run wild.
If Sony and Nintendo had released the PS1 as was intended, there would probably be no Xbox and no Sega, and Sony would either be partnered with Nintendo or not be a factor.
Sega would still be around.
I'm sorry, but I have to ask this question.
Pirated Nintendo crap.
Ender, hang on. You can't make a sweeping generalization that developers are exiting Sony and just not back it up. What games are coming out on Wii and 360 that are not coming out on the PS3?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you play BioShock 2 and when you play the upcoming Transformers game on your PS3, even though it's a more powerful system and you'll probably have paid more for it for that extra power, they're not going to look any better. They're not going to do anything else because those games were made for the Xbox.
Man, I do love Uncharted 2, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, and
God, it's awesome.
There are those games that come out, but you know what? They are not enough to justify the purchase of that system.
If it were $100, yes.
For $100, when the PS3 goes down to $100, I will buy one. I want to play those games. I am a huge gamer. I have hundreds of games. I will buy a PS3. Don't get me wrong. I will want to play those games, but right now, there is no justifiable reason to pay the amount of money that you'd have to pay for PS3 just to play those games.
What exorbitant amount? What's the difference in cost between a PS3 and an Xbox?
Or I can play more on my Xbox and my Wii and be done. I'll grant you, just recently when the PS3 went down in price, it became worth it. But it spent years being completely useless at its price point.
If it had at $600, that was insane. But if it had come out,
if it came out at that $300 price point, I would have bought it.
Absolutely.
But arguably, it had technology that made it more expensive.
But no one was utilizing that technology.
The Blu-ray was the point.
Oh yeah. Oh, what the? I don't know. Again, by the time that's becoming worth it, there are cheaper ways to watch Blu-ray. It doesn't matter. And quite frankly, anything high definition I watched, I've downloaded. We're moving beyond Blu-ray. Blu-ray is going to be dead because downloads are going to kill it. It doesn't matter. Oh. It has a whole bunch of useless technology in it. Sony has misstepped again, twice in a row.
If that's the case, the PS3 already has online download capabilities that you don't have to pay anything extra for. So how did they miss the boat on that?
But because they missed the boat because they came out so much more expensive with all the extraneous crap.
I already paid for the Blu-ray player
by then. It's not free because I already paid for the Blu-ray player that I'm not going to use.
Ender, if you buy a PS3 for $300, you don't have to pay an annual fee just to play online games. So you already have online access for free.
Of course, when it goes down, it might screw up your games even offline.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm admitting that I love PS3, but I'm not going to make up arbitrary reasons about why the PS3 sucks versus the Xbox or the Wii. I mean, you have to admit that it's more expensive to play the Xbox, and Xbox is going to have to make its stuff free.
No, I don't think so.
I think we're getting away from the important matter here, which is that the PS3 Move controller looks really, really stupid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, would you look stupid, or are you playing it or using the Tall?
I think you'd look more stupid playing the Tall, but that's just me. At least you have something in your hand that makes it look like you're doing something.
You can do that with the Tall, too.
It's like you're jumping around like a retard.
It's a full body spasm. No offense to retards, but...
Would you look any cooler than using a rock and roller?
Well, here's my problem.
Here's my problem with it. You know, it looks like they very obviously just ripped off the Wii Remote design and put an extra thing on the end of it so it would work with the way they want their control system to function using the stupid camera accessory.
Do you use your JD?
I mean, everybody steals ideas from everybody else.
Yeah, I know. But nobody likes it.
I'll have to get the iToy to do the motion control for it. But
will you?
And I'll assume there'll be a package. Oh yeah, yeah. I think that the potential for the gameplay integration is better on the PS3 than it is for the Wii. Now I don't know. I haven't had
Way
the Wii.
Wrong.
I don't have the Wii Plus.
Can't tell yourself that.
I think ultimately the PS3 Move is going to go the same way. It's going to end up being the same kind of thing as the Wii, where the most popular title is going to be the initial sports minigame package.
Yeah, I know.
Basically.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Ever since the PS3 came out, Sony's been sitting there going, any minute now, we're going to dominate the market.
Well, any second now, it's going to take over.
It's going to settle in. People are going to know that ours is the best system. Any second. Any second now. Maybe now. I'm just still waiting. And I see no sign of it. And, you know, wow, they're copying the Wiimote. What a surprise from the same schmucks who slapped analogs.
Because Natal's such a place,
and then left them there for over a decade, even though it would have made sense to move the analog into the primary control position.
These are the geniuses that are bringing us.
You know what? I think in the end, at this point, everybody has settled in nicely to what system they like and they own. This generation's pretty much decided and over.
The DS.
It'll be more interested to see what happens with the next generation, because everybody's going to have
which will never happen.
What next generation? Somebody's going to keep trying to sell the PS3 until it works.
I like that. This is basically Apple and Nintendo are very analogous. That they have the market cornered on aesthetics and interface. Now the Wii
Nintendo happens to have the market cornered on sales too.
Yeah.
Nintendo keeps doing this very nice. Called making good video games.
Well, I mean, you know, I agree with that. I'm the media unit.
Yeah.
Critically, if you look at the games themselves, the Wii makes what are largely considered terrible games, at least third party. Everything other than Nintendo.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next generation is going to be interesting when, you know, the technology that makes the Wii go, that really won the day, is not exclusive. And so they're going to be expected to either come out with another breakthrough interface, which who knows what that's going to be, or they're just going to slide back to the pack and we're going to see it's going to reset all over again.
You know what? Every breakthrough interface in the last like 20 years has been Nintendo. So I don't know if this one, maybe arguably the DS, have really won. How about the PSP and then its most recent iteration?
PSP's still around, baby. Okay.
You know, the PSP, I understand. Yeah. I'm told the PSP has about the same ultimate purpose as the Wii, which is that it's a really good machine for, like, piracy functions.
Yeah. That's about it.
Okay, so what did we learn today? Well, we learned that we're opinionated bastards.
We learned that even though he's called Ender, he just won't seem to stop talking.
No. But anyway, but no, I mean,
we love Ender.
I think John
Ender
hit on
ends
it.
You Ender does not end.
Yeah. I think
your
John
new quote for the beginning
though,
of the show.
Essentially, we're all sort of settled into our systems, and mm-hmm. you know, we like what we like.
Well, in the old PS3, you could actually live in it; it was so big. So,
I don't really feel like that because last generation, I was, you know, completely different because it was different hardware. I own probably 20 different systems. I don't get settled into a system. I feel I judge them pretty fairly. I have a lot of games.
I know you do. I know you think that. But anyway,
I have 3,000 games right now.
So
I don't know. I have a PS2. I have tons of games for it. I still think it's a crappy system.
I know you do. We all know. But the point here is that, I mean, essentially, we'll see. You know, I don't know. I don't think that the move is gonna, you know. I don't think it's going to suddenly make the PlayStation 3 a breakout system. I think it'll
just wait for the PS4.
Well, I think it'll ultimately do what has happened with the Wii, which it'll have a few games that'll be pretty cool, and then, you know, ultimately it'll sit there. But
you don't think that people who wanted to go bowling and waggle controls at tennis balls probably already have a Wii by now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I think people who own a PS3, I think of all, like if you took a snapshot of people who own more than one system, PS3 plus Wii would probably be the by far the most common combination. See, like if you own more than one of the next gen systems, Wii plus PS3 hands down would be the combination.
Or Wii plus
I wouldn't say that at all.
I would say
Wii plus 360.
Yeah.
I don't think it really goes one way or the other. It's just Wii and one of PS3 or 360.
The Wii came out so much cheaper that the people who wanted to play that kind of game already bought a Wii. And that the people who bought a PS3 wanted to play like hardcore games, and this little peripheral is not going to do much for them.
Well, and see, that'll ultimately be the question. Will the people that already have both systems find additional value in getting this, or is this going to appeal to people that haven't invested in the Wii?
Who has, all right, so like you're like have a Wii, right? And you're like, oh wow, the PS3 has motion controls now. I'm so bored of Avatar bowling on my Wii. I think I'd like to Avatar bowl on a $300 PS3.
There are people like that.
Yeah, well, there are. Yeah, but there are people with too much money. A smaller majority. You know,
I wouldn't say it's enough to shift the market share.
I'm sure Chris Triplett would be all over it.
Yeah. Oh, Chris is not here to defend himself.
I know. And I feel like I've been backed so into a corner all night without Triplett. Jeez.
You know, so, the only reason I don't own a PS3?
Good taste.
Because I'm broke.
Ah, yeah.
I have the other two. I would buy
that is a barrier.
That is the only reason. I mean, and I'm a Nintendo hardcore fanboy. I had a 360 on opening day thanks to my mother getting robbed.
Rob's mother made the national news because she was mugged for PS 360. Bill Gates sent her one to replace it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally still have a PS3 if the fact that, you know, first it was too expensive. Now it's actually affordable, but you know what? I'm unemployed. I got to pay some house bills before I worry about another game system. And that's from a guy who has Mario toys by his robots. You know, I'm a big Nintendo dude. I'd still have a PS3 because the games are exclusive. Little Big Planet is fun. You know, that's it.
Little Big Planet's a game I want. That's just it. There's like a few games. That's what I judge my systems by in a lot of ways. When I'm going to get them is how many games I want to play. I think it's still like 5 for the PS3.
Well, yeah.
And the deal is that I've talked to you about this a little bit, Brian. I'm building a room in my basement, like a playroom for my kids, where I can sit and podcast and do all this stuff and see them. And one thing I wanted was to be able to like have Netflix on down for them downstairs. And today I actually bought another Xbox 360.
Huh.
Rather than buy a PS3.
That's awesome.
It came with Final Fantasy and a big hard drive.
There you go. That makes sense to me. I thought about buying another one, too. I want the 250-gig hard drive.
That hard drive was so big, it came with two controllers. I was like, you know what? I need another. And there's also another one in my my wife's room where she needs Netflix. We just got another one that made more sense than buying one of the – little Netflix hard drive things. We just got her. I think there's three running Xbox 360s in my house, and I still haven't felt the need to buy a PS3.
It just must sound like a Harrier jet in there.
If you load it to the hard drive, it's not that bad.
But well, ultimately though, I mean, so there you go. We'll see. I mean, you know. Anyway, but
time has told.
What?
I will get my last word in.
No, you know, this whole thing started with the stupid motion controller, and that was 25 minutes ago.
Yeah,
but
it's a good topic. Over,
I tried to bring it back to motion control,
and what it really comes down to with the motion controller is that it's a Wii remote with a light bulb strapped to the front of it.
Yeah, that'll be semi-different. I mean, the reports are that in some cases it's more accurate than even the Wii Plus, but not shockingly so or strikingly
so. Can I use my Force FX lightsaber with it?
That would be great.
Here's the deal. I need one of those. Look, here's the deal. The debate we just had is way more entertaining than the actual controller.
Exactly. I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Amanda's scared to death, though, apparently. Yeah.
That's what I was going for.
But okay.
You guys horrify me to my soul.
So,
yeah. Hey, you're welcome.
I am Ender, and I am more entertaining than a PS3.
Ender,
yes.
You fright me to my soul by yourself, not to mention everybody else yelling at you.
Thank you, dear.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks, Amanda.
Amanda, by the way, for those that
for the 12 people listening,
there's hundreds by now.
So
we probably went viral with that debate.
Oh yeah.
So God, I hope so.
Okay, listen to these bunch of virgins.
Yeah.
Irate virgins.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week, which turned out way more exciting than I was expecting.
Well, that's what's going to happen anytime the PS3 topic comes up.
You know, right.
So next week, we're going to figure out a way to wedge it in.
Yeah, just because it's fun.
Let's talk about PS3.
We can retread. But anyway, I have no idea. We'll see. I mean, there's going to be new and exciting news next week. We'll be here next week. We want to thank everybody that tuned in and is listening tonight to us live. Of course, if you're not listening to this show live, you should. We'll be recording live each week. Wednesday nights,
9:15 Eastern-ish, something like that.
9:15 Eastern-ish, something like that. If you're not following us on Twitter or Facebook, you should be, because that's where you're going to see the updates for the show coming on. Also, make sure you go to tfradio.net. That's where you're going to find links to, well, the show. You're going to find links to the other shows that we do.
New website to tfvideo.net.
Tfvideo.net for video. We've got Radio Free Cybertron, our Transwar-centric show. New show, Fanboy Versus, featuring Ender, you know. So how can you go wrong with
even
that?
More new show Outside the Cage,
more of him.
Which is an MMA wrestling
podcast. I will not be denied.
Yes. But we've got a new wrestling show. We've got Superhero Time. That's going to feature XV. That's hentai. No, Sentai.
Don't excite them.
No, see that's the thing.
We've not used that joke in forever, though.
It doesn't get old. I love it. It's sort of like
just really like the girls.
Like that
just like the girls.
Oh, goodness.
No, they just stay the same.
Yes. So it's just like with my wife. I always make the joke about the bidet and duvet. Apparently, those are two different things. But anyway.
at least once a week.
So anyway, thank you for listening. Straight out of Compton,
crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. This has been New Soundwave with your hosts JD Church, Ender, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, XV, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron. So give it up smooth. Ain't no telling when I'm down for a jack move.